Welcome to the Bethany Community Church Podcast for September 18th, 2016. This week's sermon is titled, The Principles of a Pathfinder.
Let's move into the message today. We're in a series called Pathfinders. And this series is about getting over destination disease. And dealing, enjoying, and loving what's in your path. Living your story and loving your journey instead of someday in the sweet by and by. You know, our belief in eternal life with Jesus can be the ultimate destination disease and keep us from focusing on that great thing, that awesome opportunity, that incredible need that's right in your path. You know, in a conversation, some of us had a conversation yesterday about the passage of Scripture where it says that Abraham called things that be not as though they are. And Steve, you and I were talking the other day about Western thinking. We always want to create formulas out of things. That's one reason we are such great problem solvers in the West, is because we try to always find the formula. These four steps will solve this problem. And so we take the great Bible stories, and instead of seeing them as a story of that man's life and the story of God in that man's life, we try to find a formula. So we've taken that verse where Abraham, he and his wife were past the age of childbearing, and he called things that be not as though they were. In other words, he confessed that he would be the father of a great nation. We've taken that and made a doctrine out of it, made a formula out of it. This is how to get what you want from God. Call it things that are not as though they are. That wasn't what God was trying to do in that story. He was telling you Abraham's story. Abraham was living in his story. He was loving his journey. That was his journey. It's not yours. The Bible doesn't say that about Apostle Paul, called things that be not as though they were. Apostle James called it. That was Abraham's story. If you try to live in Abraham's story, you're not going to live your story. You're not going to live your journey. You're not going to live your frustrations and deal with your frustrations and your challenges if you're always trying to live in Abraham's. And it's funny, the faith industry that has always used that verse to tell you, you can have everything you confess. At the end of the broadcast, they will always tell you, please send us money so we can pay for our airtime, so we can stay on the television. Well, why don't they just call things that be not as though they are? Well, they need me to send them money for to stay on the air. Why don't they just confess that it's paid for? If it works for a guy in Minden, it should work for a guy in, well, I won't call any towns because you may be sending money there. How about let's do something in Milford? Let's do something in Northbridge. Let's do something in Minden. What's in our path? And we got some great, great pathfinders in this church. Great pathfinders in the church. And Susie Blaze over here called us this week and said, can I do something downtown? And we said, yes. And is Tom Sawyer, are you out there, Tom? Okay, Tom. Tom, I don't take offense, Tom, because you and I... We kind of wet mopped that floor, but the powers that be didn't think we did a good enough job. Okay, and you talk about a pathfinder. This Tom Sawyer dude back here, he's a pathfinder. He will do what's in the path. I mean, here's a guy. He just got voted Rotarian of the Year, and he's down helping me mop a floor. But no offense, Tom, but we had to get somebody else to come and mop it again. And I walked in there, Susie, I walked in Friday afternoon, and it smells so good. I just smell that sweet aroma because she went and mopped the floor. See, she's a pathfinder. She did what was in her path. A floor that needed mopping was what was in her path. Now, we'd like to solve human trafficking. We'd like to cure cancer. But if that's not in your path, go mop the floor. Amen? And not only that, we have a real pathfinder here today. Last Sunday, when I finished the message, I was talking to a gentleman who's been attending our church for a few weeks and found out that he served in the U.S. military as a Pathfinder from 1985 to 1998. It's Pathfinder is a military term. He served in Panama, Somalia, Kuwait, Kosovo, and dropped out of airplanes and made the path for the Air Force and the ground troops who would come in afterward. These are men who drop into these zones, these combat zones. They're the first to go in, and they identify, they confirm the reliability of the map. They confirm the reliability of the map, and they radio back to headquarters or wherever, and confirm, or probably sometimes they contradict, the reliability of the map, and they identify obstructions, and they remove obstructions. They're pathfinders. And so I'm going to just introduce this gentleman to you, and he's here. So Andy Mazurki, would you stand? Andy Mazurki, where are you? Give him a hand for serving our country. And Mr. Tibbs is there today, and I heard that Mr. Tibbs sleeps through my sermons. So I think that's a compliment, right? Some people take medication to sleep, and others just come to hear me preach. And Dr. Mazurki actually is a biology professor at CCRI. So we're just really happy that you're coming to Bethany now, and we want to make you feel welcome. And I think we put his picture up there, right? And man, you were a child. That was last year. I was thinking it looked like Isaac Santos. And that's a whole other subject that's kind of dark and can be depressing, and we won't talk about that today. But a lot of what I want to share today, I sat down with Andy, and we had him talk to me about and ask him a lot of questions about what Pathfinders did. So a lot of what I want to share today comes out of that conversation. I may not give attribution to everything, every quote for Andy, but if it's great, just say it came from Andy. You know, just assume it, right? I am convinced that what you do in your path or in your journey is more important than whether or not you reach your dream destination or fulfill your dreams. Not saying you shouldn't have dreams. Not saying you shouldn't have those big, hairy, audacious goals. Not saying you shouldn't. It's good if you do. But God wants to write your story. Joseph had the big dream, but he put his big dream into the hands of God. The dream that he had, two dreams that showed his brothers, which would be the nation of Israel, bowing before him. But Joseph had the wisdom, and Joseph had the ability to know that the big dream he could hand to God, and he could trust God with it. He could completely trust God with it. He didn't have to manipulate it. He didn't have to do anything with it but trust God. All he had to do was trust and obey. So he got to Potiphar's house. His brother sold him into slavery. And he got to Potiphar's house. And you see, Joseph loved his journey. He didn't love everything about his journey. He didn't like everything that happened to him. But he was always able to love his journey. He was always able to love the challenge that was in front of him. And he was always able to embrace what was in front of him. So he goes to Potiphar's house and he serves. He serves so capably. And he's also served God, because when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, he resisted her advances because he was serving God. He was in the journey. He was in the path. And then because of that false accusation, he goes into prison. And there in prison, I'm sure he didn't love going to prison, but even in prison, he loved his story. He lived in his story. He didn't, as we used to say in old Pentecostal days, he didn't lose the victory. He didn't lose the victory. He stayed in victory. He stayed in focus. He loved his journey. He lived his journey. He loved the people around him. He engaged with the people around him. He didn't let himself go into a state of depression that he could not focus and could not engage with the people around him. And he was a pathfinder. Pathfinders live a life dedicated to making life better for others. That's it. Plain and simple, that defines a pathfinder. Pathfinders think. Pathfinders walk in and think. When they walk into their house, they think, I'm going to clean the kitchen before my spouse comes home. That's how a pathfinder lives. A pathfinder goes, I'm going to make sure the new person in the company or the new person in the congregation or the new neighbor feels welcome. I'm responsible. The pathfinder goes, I want to make sure environments I take people into or conversations I engage in don't expose them to temptations they can't handle just because I can handle it. I'm going to always know my audience. Pathfinders go, I'm going to say some hard things you may not be comfortable hearing because I know you're not going to realize your dreams if you keep going down the path you're going. So I'm going to say some things to you that you may not like because I want to see you succeed. I want to see you go the right way on your path because I am a pathfinder. That's what I do. I help people find the right path. I want on my tombstone, I want it to say he showed us the way. That's what I wanted to say. He showed us the way. No accident that Jesus, we're going to talk about that next week. No accident that Jesus called himself the way. He didn't call himself the destination. He didn't call himself the end. He called himself the way. He used a journey word, a transition word, a path word. Also, here's what a pathfinder thinks. A pathfinder thinks within the bounds of wisdom, and within the boundaries of moral virtue, and within the bounds of God's priorities, I'm going to try to please you. And I'm going to try to make you happy. Boy, it's quiet in here, huh? 1 Corinthians 10 is the words of a pathfinder, Apostle Paul. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jew or Greeks or the church of God. Even as I try to please everybody, I try. He didn't say I do it. He didn't say I achieve that. But he said, my intention. Is that your intention today? Do you want to make other people feel pleased? Do you want to make other people feel happy? Do you want to make other people's day? Do you want to give everybody else a moment? That's what Paul said. I try to please everybody in every way. It's funny that's any Fortune 500 company that's making a lot of money, I guess if you're a Fortune 500 company, you are making a lot of money. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to please you in every way. So this is the formula for success in life, and I don't think that's why he wrote it there, just so it could be the formula for success in life. But he wrote it there because it's the principle of the pathfinder. The principle of the pathfinder is I want to please you. Customer service. If you were a store, would you shop at you? Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Pathfinder, like I said, it's a military term. So these scout units or pathfinder units were created to go in, show the way, prepare the way. And a very important distinction that they didn't just show the way. They didn't just point out the way to people. We're going to get into that a little more momentarily. They didn't just point the way. They didn't just radio back and said, there's the way. You got to go. They would even clear the way. There were landmines. They would try to clear them if they had the equipment to do so. See, pathfinders will be there for you even when you don't deserve it. The pathfinder's motto, the military pathfinder's motto, is first in, last out. First in, last out. Don't you love Pathfinders? They arrive before the fellowship and clean the room and set up the room. And then everybody eats and enjoys themselves and goes home. And the Pathfinders, they're still there cleaning up because they're Pathfinders. I remember, I think it was Linda Morrow, Wayne Morrow's kids one time said, "We must be pastor's kids because we're always the last to leave, too." Hey, don't think being a Pathfinder is not fun, though. One of the questions I remember asking Andy, because I always thought about this, you know, especially those guys at Normandy, those Pathfinders at Normandy who parachuted behind enemy lines, and that just sounded the most horrifying thing in the world to me. Jumping out of a plane sounds pretty scary to me to start with. But in that environment, and I said, "Well, isn't that?" I said to him, "Isn't that scary?" He said, "Oh, that's fun." I find that with people who really love the Lord. I find that with people who really love serving. They find it. There's a joy they get out of it. They get what we call helper's high. God wired you that way. God wired you to be happier when you're helping. If you want to work with your own psychology, it might even save you some money with a psychologist. You work with your own psychology and the way God wired you. See, that everything we preach, if it's correct doctrine, if it's right, it's just consistent with how you're created. It's not some beating you over the head kind of thing, trying to get you to do something that's unnatural. But it's trying to get you to start doing what is natural for a healthy person. See, sin comes and twists you and malforms you, so you're doing things that aren't, that you're always trying to be happy. You're always trying to get happy. And if you'll get into God's program, you'll just start being happy. Okay? Pathfinders will be there for it. Joseph was that kind of guy. He was a first in, last out kind of a person. Look at Genesis 37:10. When he told his father as well as his brothers, his fathers rebuked him. That's the dream that they were going to serve him that I mentioned. What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come out and bow down to the ground before you? That was their response. We know the story. I just took you through the narrative. Joseph let the insults go. He let all the bad stuff go. His brothers sold him into slavery because they were angry because of this dream he had, and they were angry at him for a multitude of reasons, a lot of family dysfunction there. I mean, by the way, guys, don't feel that the plan of God can't happen because your family is dysfunctional. I mean, sometimes my family puts the fun in dysfunctional. And we're a great family, but we're still just struggling sometimes to get it right. So don't try to get everything perfect before you become a Pathfinder. Just God wants you to start today, amen? Right where you are. Look at Genesis 41. We're going way to the end of the story. We're taking a flight over the story to the last part of the story, verse 56 and 57, when the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt, and all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was so severe in the world. If that's not a Pathfinder, I don't know what is. Somebody who parachuted into enemy territory, got neglected and abused and mistreated, but didn't let what was going on in the outside of him get on the inside of him. He didn't let what was happening to him happen in him. I said he didn't let what was happening to him happen in within him. I mean, go order a nice piece of fish today for lunch, and I tell you, well, you know what you're going to need to put on that fish? Salt. And that fish swims in salt water all day. Used to. The salt, he's in the salt, but the salt's not in the fish. That's what, see, Joseph got into prison, but the prison never got into him. Joseph got into slavery, but the slavery never got into him. I'm feeling a little Pentecostal right now. Amen? Are you letting stuff get inside you that shouldn't be inside you? Are you letting stuff that's happening to you happen in you? Jesus has come to be with you, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, and in you. You can't be ruled by everything that's going on around you. And Scott, you've had a tough week this week. Scott's dad got taken to ICU, a lot of problems. And how's he doing today? Much better, much better. Been a rough week, but I talked to Scott. We were back and forth all week, and I just sensed Scott was just, I know it was rough, but you stayed in victory. You stayed in peace throughout the whole week. We're proud of you for that. Pathfinders will be there for you, even when you don't deserve it. Even when you don't deserve it. Pathfinders not only will be there for you, they will be there with you. Pathfinders are a devoted community dedicated to making life better for others. Now, this is a shift. There's a shift from Joseph to Jesus. There's a shift from the Old Testament heroes of the faith. The prophets, the sages, and the seers. The prophets, the sages, and the seers. The sages and the seers. There's a shift from the prophets and the sages and the seers. Because they would receive the anointing of God to make a path. Whether it's Noah building the ark or Moses leading the children of Israel across the Red Sea. They would receive a special designation from God to do something. Have you noticed that the pathfinders in the Old Covenant, under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, Elisha, Elijah, Noah, Abraham, Moses. Have you noticed those guys often were alone? They did not live and lead from the base of community. But we need to understand what transpired when the Son of God broke the sound barrier and came to earth and became a man. And we need to understand what he released. We don't fully appreciate what he released. We don't fully appreciate what he did. The Bible says he has made us kings and priests unto our God. He has made us kings and priests unto our God. There's a shift from the old covenant to the new covenant, and that shift is the anointing for ministry. The anointing to be world changers and pathfinders is no longer on the head of an individual in the community. But now the anointing is on the community. The anointing is in the community. Because Jesus looked at his disciples one day and he said, he that's with you shall be in you. Now that had never happened before. He that's with you shall be in you. The Bible says that he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. What happened in Acts chapter 2 was not so much the Holy Spirit coming down on them, but the Holy Spirit being released from within them that spilled out to the outside of them. Because to the point I made earlier, what happens on you must first happen in you. I said, what happens on you must first happen in you. What happens in your life must first happen in your heart. And Jesus came to make something dynamic happen in your heart. He came to invest the Holy Spirit, the seed of promise. He came to invest it into your heart. So every person in this room, every person in this room has the anointing of David, the anointing of Elijah, the anointing of Elijah, the anointing of Noah, the anointing of David. Every person in this room has the power of the potential power of the Holy Spirit living in them. So we are no longer lonely pathfinders, but we are a community of pathfinders. Amen? What is unique about a gospel-saturated community is that it is impossible for them to exist for themselves. What is unique about a gospel-saturated community is it impossible for them to exist for themselves, but they exist and they are obsessed with making their purpose about those who are not yet present. Do you hear that tomorrow? Can you resonate with me on that? Our purpose that we are obsessed with as people who've received the gift from God, as people who have been enriched by the grace of God, our obsession is to live for those who are not yet present. Where are they? Where are the people who are not yet present? They're in your path. They work in the cubicle next to you. They walk by our building downtown. They're the people who come to the Blessing Barns. They're the people who come into our fill-in program. We have a wonderful lady. I won't point her out this morning. You do need to realize, if you come to this church, that part of the perk of coming to this church is you will get to become a part of a sermon illustration eventually. That's a benefit. Because I've been preaching to the same place for 29 years, and I'm really needing more sermon illustrations. You know, I will repeat once in a while, and somebody will go, I've heard that before. Yeah, you've told that one four times. So just be prepared for a moment of celebrityhood when I will use you for a sermon illustration. But who's in your path? Who's in the path of this community? I'm telling you, we have not even begun to tap in on what God wants to do through this community. We've not even scratched the surface of what God wants to do. And the shift that I feel happening in my spirit right now, the shift that I feel is happening, is that we become an army of pathfinders. We become a community that distributes grace everywhere we go. Amen? Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. Some of the things that Andy told me about Pathfinders was that everybody had a job. He actually said before Belichick, they were saying, do your job. Everybody knew what everybody else's job was. According to him, they would say, Zelensky's down, Mazurki, you have to do his job. Nobody was superfluous, and nobody was extraneous. You know, a professor would say it that way, right? Everybody was needed. Everybody in the room is needed. Everybody, it's just, you know, you just don't get it. You just, I don't think we do. Maybe you do, but I don't think we quite get it. The power that we are, you know. Verna Vignoni, are you here? I told you, sermon illustration. Where's Verna? Oh, there you are, Verna. Verna, you don't realize, every time I see you, you lift me up. You just speak to me and say to me, like, I'm really glad to see you. Now, that may be untrue. But don't burst my bubble. Why? I wish I could think of a more profound way to say it, but you just all really, really matter. You all really matter. And Joy Johnson's here, and Steve, and they're part of our church now. I love your story, Joy. I just love it. I think about it. It just inspires me all the time. And I know I talk about it a lot, and I'm trying to control myself, not talk about it so much. I just think about that. I think about the homeschooling mom who didn't have destination disease, didn't have some glory thing, I'm going to be the chaplain of the Rhode Island prison system, and I'm going to just, I want to go do something for prisoners, and I like to make crafts, so I'm going to go make crafts with women in prison. That's a pathfinder, friend. That's a pathfinder. That's somebody who just, this is what I like to do, and maybe they would like to do it, and now this thing is happening, and it's just God is right in one chapter because she was willing to live in her story. She was willing to follow the narrative of her life. She was willing to do the next thing. Are you willing to do the next thing, folks? Are we willing to do the next thing? Pathfinders, let me give you a few bullet points on this. Pathfinders aren't in it for glory. Paul said, we do it all for the glory of God. Easier said than done sometimes. Pathfinders aren't focused on the TOGs, but the OPGs. TOGs means their own goals. OPGs means other people's goals. 1 Corinthians 10:33, even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so they may be saved. I like this. Andy did say this, that the job description of the Pathfinder is vague. I like that. That everybody around me wants these clear job descriptions. I'm going to tell them this from now on. If we're Pathfinders, our job description has to be vague. You know, we want those lists. I do this and this and this, and don't ask me to do that. Well, you're not a Pathfinder. Because when you get dropped in at how many feet they drop you from, Andy? Pretty high. Okay, well, I'll go with that. In my professional opinion, it was pretty high. That's typical. They didn't know. I mean, he was telling me about being dropped into Panama. They had bolt cutters. They had to have bolt cutters in case they had to cut through a fence. They didn't know. Man, let's forget about job descriptions. Let's let the path be our job description. You know, I think I mentioned John Maxwell talking about one of his staff members one time. Did I tell that illustration already? His path, one of his staff members walked past through the lobby of the church, past some people who were standing there, and went right to his office. And John Maxwell follows him to his office and said, why did you walk past those people that come to our church? And that staff member said, I have work to do. And John Maxwell said, they are your work. Oh, I'm messing with somebody today. You're not liking this. Pathfinders are servants, not spies. Wayfinders, not geographic reporters. I know a lot of spies. Some of them are in the church. They're always informing you of something they found out that's out of place. Something they found out that's disorganized, and they won't tell me about it. So I'll take care of it. Something that wasn't cleaned. Something that's dirty. Sherry's down praying one day. This was in another church, by the way. It didn't happen here. This was the first church we pastored. She's down praying at the altar. I think that's why she sits in the back now. She's down praying at the altar. And the dear saint of God in the church, a lady who had been in the church way before us, and I knew she knew how to open closets and look for stuff. I mean, there's just no way she didn't know that. She taps Sherry on the shoulder, interrupts her prayer, said, I think she said Sister McCutcheon. Did she say Sister McCutcheon? Sherry? Is Sherry back there? Oh, she doesn't remember. She doesn't remember negative stories. Well, I hope you repent at the end of the service. We're going to have altar time now. We weren't going to have it, but now we need to. But the pastor on the shoulder said, Sister McCutcheon, there's no toilet paper in the women's restroom. You've been in this church for 20 years and you can't go find some toilet paper? Pathfinders are not spies. They're not geographic reporters. The job of the Pathfinder was not just to call back and give descriptions of the terrain. Yeah, that was a part of their job, absolutely. But their job was also, if the fence to the airport that that the troops were going to go through, the others who were going to come in there, or the ground troops were going to drive through, if there was a big old fence there, they took their bolt cutters and they cut it. They didn't go, well, we told you there was a fence. You ran into the fence. We told you it was there. You know, a man who went to Leahy Clinic, I get a lot of prostate cancer stories, and I appreciate most of them. But somebody was trying to encourage me, and this was an encouraging story when I first got diagnosed, and they told me about a friend of theirs who was told his prostate cancer was inoperable. And he went to Leahy Clinic to get a second opinion, and he told that doctor what the other doctor said. My prostate cancer is inoperable. That doctor looked him in the eye and said, yes, but I'm good. Boy, I like that. I like that. I like people that look at problems and go, yeah, it's hard, but I'm good. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm good. I'm good. I can solve problems. Pathfinders are lifters, not shifters. Somebody need to leave? You need to leave early? We're going to be done in about 5-6 minutes or 10 or 15. We'll be done in time for kickoff. Kickoff's at 1. Pathfinders are lifters, not shifters. See, we naturally move toward comfort. I mean, that's just human. You walk into your house, and you're thinking, it won't be exactly this for you, but for some of us, it's you're thinking of potato chips, couch, TV. You're not thinking mop, sweep, clean the toilets, go mow the grass. You're thinking chips, couch, TV. Where's the remote, right? What? What do you do if you're Brazilian? Oh, yeah. Well, the Brazilians are better pathfinders than the rest of us. That's the truth. If you want to get something clean, you get the Brazilians. Margie, the other day, the Brazilians downtown were cleaning so hard, they set off the fire alarms. I mean, No Americans have done that. But let me just illustrate what a shifter looks like. Okay, that's trash, okay? It's in the lobby of where you work, or it's in the foyer of your home, or the lobby of the church. Here's what a shifter does. That's a shifter. Here's what a lifter does. A lifter goes, that's what a lifter does. Are you a shifter or a lifter? Who said that? We're keeping notes on everybody. We're going to have a whole different membership category. The shifters and the lifters. Again, back to those dirty dishes. The shifter sees the dirty dishes, and if they're really brave, they go open the dishwasher. But that's the moment of truth. So the moment of truth is that the dishes and the dishwasher are dirty. Don't you hate that? That's a crisis in every man's life. I don't know what the women, that's a crisis moment, man. When I open the dishwasher and the dishes there are dirty, it means I got to deal with them too. Or what's worse is when you go to wash some clothes and you open the washing machine. And another member of the family left the only way you can deal with your clothes is to deal with their clothes. I have gone back to watching television a couple times. Just wore the same pants the next day. Or a common Bethany shift is you see one of these young women, like my daughter-in-law, carrying a table after church. And you're walking toward her, she's carrying the table, and you shift over. And you go talk to Steve about his fantasy football lineup. Steve Gonzalez. We need more lifters in the kingdom of God and in the world. More lifters and shifters. See, a form of destination disease can be image consciousness. It's what the disciples had when Jesus washed their feet. See, they had image. A form of destination disease is you just don't see yourself doing that. Washing feet, I just don't see myself. That's not who I am. See, I work a white-collar job, you know. I'm not a domestic. And so when you see dirty feet, you shift. The disciples, they saw the dirty feet and they all shifted. Jesus, a great pathfinder. The way. Look at your neighbors, say Jesus was the way. The way he did it was the way. You want to know how to live? The way he, live it, live the way. Jesus washed everybody's feet. Do we even grasp how incredible that was? I can't even get my brain around it, that the creator of the universe, the one who spoke the stars into existence, would wash my feet because my feet were in his path. My dirty feet were in his path. He was about to be crucified and raised from the dead, but he washed their feet. Another form of lifting and shifting or shifting is when you hear somebody tries to have a critical conversation about someone that you're supposed to be very loyal to. And they start telling you stuff, and filling your ear with stuff. You know, gossip should be hung up by their tongues, and those who listen should be hung up by their ears. And they start to fill your ears with stuff, negative stuff about a certain person or a certain church or whatever. And you do the big shift. You change the subject. Instead of rebuking them, which is what the Bible says you're supposed to do. Instead of saying, what are you talking about? What are you talking about the people that are part of my life for? Now, you may get them behind closed doors and ream them out. But you don't let anybody else do it in a public. You don't do that if you're a lifter. If you're a lifter, you don't do that. Or what's even worse, if you're close to that person, you know what's even worse is when you give them more information. Yeah, I know. I know they're like that. And I sometimes have the same issue with them. They're good people, though. They got a good heart, but you're being shifty. You're being immature. Everybody think it's time we grow up. Everybody, let's just grow up. Let's grow up into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's make this, you know, I want every church to be great. I want every church in this community to be great. But what's wrong with wanting this one to be great? It's of God that we be the best that we can be. We've been given a path, and we're going to stand before God someday of how we do with that path. There's a lot of other illustrations of lifting and shifting. You probably got your own. In fact, you're probably wishing somebody was here to hear this. But they're not, so it must be for you. God is making a big request of you and I today. He's asking us to begin to live to please others. Not in the sense of giving people everything they want or becoming codependent, but in the sense of willing others' highest good so they can see a clear path to God's best for their life. Will you consider making that shift if you haven't already, and so many have, and all of us are in the continuum somewhere. None of us are all the way there where we ought to be. Some of us are 40%, 50%, 70%, nobody's 100%. So we're all in the process here. And we are we're going to pray in a couple of minutes for our community groups that are launching. And I intentionally preach this message because a good next step to being a pathfinder and being a better pathfinder, maybe I should say it that way, being a better pathfinder would be for the next 10 weeks to join a community group. That would be a good next step, to get connected with those other anointed people. Because here's the deal, guys. The personality and power of Jesus has been distributed throughout the body. And God puts churches together. God puts churches together so that all the parts of Jesus are in that church. I believe that. I believe God puts churches and He puts houses of worship, places of worship together so that all the personality and power of Jesus. I know you thought that all the personality and power of Jesus resided in me. I know you thought that. But I just want to dispel that myth today that I have only a sliver. I have only a fraction of who Jesus is. None of us have it all together, but together we have it all. The personality and power and attributes of Jesus are distributed. So in order for me to be complete in Him, I need to be connected with you. Is that okay? You think that's true? For me to be complete in Him, I need to be connected with you. Because you have some of Jesus' anointing that I don't have. You, and I have some that you don't have too, so don't look at me so piously. Will you consider putting your own personal dreams, your big, hairy, audacious goals, or your personal image a little further down the list of priorities than you usually do? And if you haven't already, over 150 people, I don't know the exact number, you know, Brandy? Over 150 people have joined community groups already. We're very happy about that. Thank God. Let's give the Lord a hand. So, I'm going to invite all the community group leaders who are here today. We didn't tell you ahead of time we're going to do this, so I'm assuming that most of them are here. I want to invite all of you to come up right now to the stage and stand. I love these guys. These guys they're pathfinders. They open their homes. They open their hearts. They open their life. And invite you to come into their homes and their hearts and their life. Aren't they beautiful? Amen. That's incredible. Now, I wanted to, just so we can recognize you, if you've joined a community group, I just want you to stand for a minute. Just stand up if you've signed up. Wow, fantastic. Let's give you a hand, too. Let's give you a hand. All right. I'm going to have Brandy Gaudette, who's our community group coordinator. She's going to come and pray a prayer. She may have a few words to say, but she's going to pray a prayer. Make sure I'm standing.
Everybody can sit down. It's going to be, you know, I'm super Pentecostal, so this is going to be a long prayer. But... if you haven't gotten a chance to sign up for community groups, today's your last Sunday to be able to do that. You can stop by the table we have in the gym. There's a large TV screen that says community groups. You still have a chance to be part of groups. I don't want you to miss the opportunity to be part of community. We've talked about it all today. Pastor Phil's been talking about it the past couple of weeks, how important being part of each other's path is, and this is your opportunity to be part of it. So please stop by that table, have a conversation with me. I might be able to, if a group's closed, I might be able to make it work for you, but a lot of the groups are full, and that's so great, because normally, I think we are at least, last I looked, there were 40 new people signed up for community groups who were not signed up before, and that is amazing. That is people... It is so great. That means that people are getting connected and people are wanting to be part of this community and are feeling welcomed into being able to be part of that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, God. Thank you for putting us all in this place together. Thank you for your love for us, God. Thank you for putting us all on a path together, God. Thank you for making this all happen. God, I pray for these leaders. As they walk out into these next 10 weeks, God, I pray that you equip them to teach the things that you have for them, God, for you have for those people who are inside of those community groups. I pray that you're going to give them an abundance of time. You're going to give them abundance of finances, and you're going to give them abundance of resources, God, to make the people in their group feel loved and to make the community even stronger, God. I pray for their families. I pray that margin just comes into their lives, God, that they have more time to be part of things that are of you, God, and that their family's faith is going to get stronger, and that their families that are outside of their house are going to see how committed they are to you and the things that you have for them, God. I pray for the people who are going to be part of these community groups, God. I pray that you are going to help them feel loved and needed and known, God, because your love for us is so huge, God. And these leaders are going to have an opportunity to share that love that you have for them with them, God. I pray that the equipping of the word of God inside of their hearts through these lessons, God, I pray that you take that and you seal that in their hearts, God, that you take them even further in your word, God, into a deeper relationship. I pray for the friendships that are going to be formed in this group. I pray for the power that's going to come out of this group as it goes into the community, God. That's the title of our groups, community groups, that we're going to be able to take people who are not knowing you, God, that are not part of this church, that we're going to be able to take them from there, God, into here, and welcome them into our family, God. I know that you are in the middle of all of this, God, and you're going to grow and change our church community, God, as we change the community of the world. We thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the Bethany Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us online at bccma.org. Thank you, and God bless.